Your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. What's Doing in Western Michigan, a transcribed panorama of the news and views from the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan as reported in the daily and weekly newspapers received during the week in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. 'Twas a fine spring day last Monday as Michigan voters went to the polls to register their choices in the biennial spring elections. As you know, the Republican candidates were successful in the state elections. In most of the townships in western Michigan, too, the Republican candidates won out, although there were notable exceptions. Over in Waukesha Township, for example, here in Kalamazoo County, where I went to witness a town meeting for a report Tuesday night over WKZO, they reelected the Democratic candidate for supervisor, Harry Lawrence, who has served in that capacity since 1937. In several of the cities which held elections to fill municipal offices last Monday, Democratic candidates were elected. The Ionia Sentinel Standard reports the election for mayor there of Anthony Balise, World War II veteran, Marine officer, and local news dealer on the Democratic ticket. Mr. Balise is 29 years old and is believed to be the youngest mayor in Ionia's history. Only one Republican was elected to a post in Ionia. At Greenville, in a record turnout for the balloting, the Democratic candidate for mayor, Owen Mumaw, was elected, says the Greenville Daily News. Coldwater elected Republican Owen L. Decker over Democrat Douglas Strong by a margin of only 15 votes out of almost 2,100 cast, according to the Coldwater Daily Reporter. In a bitter nonpartisan election contest in Allegan, incumbent Walter Kies and three other councilmen were reelected in a close race, say the Allegan News and the Allegan Gazette. The Coloma Courier reports Paul Mast elected mayor there by a narrow squeak, while the Waterbeat Record tells of the re-election there of Mayor Alden E. Bridges. The Hastings Banner says there's going to be six new supervisors in Berry County this year. The Allegan News reports five new supervisors elected in Allegan County. The Cassopolis Vigilant announces four new supervisors in Cass County, but the Three Rivers Commercial tells that Leonidas Township was the only one in St. Joseph County to choose a new supervisor. Here are some of the results on special issues. The Marshall Evening Chronicle reports that the voters there approved a levy of 0.3 mil to support a municipal ban. The Greenville Daily News tells that Greenville approved a new zoning ordinance. The Three Rivers Commercial reports that the city voters approved a bond issue to repair a bridge in that city, but that St. Joseph County voters turned down a 1 mil tax to repair county bridges. The sale of liquor by the glass was beaten in Coloma, says the Coloma Courier, and up in Newaygo County, according to the Newaygo Republican, a proposal to permit the sale of beer and wine on Sunday was defeated. Over in Marshall, our good friend Clyde Weatherwax, whose column in the Marshall Evening Chronicle we enjoy each day, was elected Justice of the Peace. Our congratulations to Judge Weatherwax. One final item in the elections. According to the Sturgis Journal, a gentleman named Maynard Pickles led the voting for constable in that city. Now for some news from the farm front. Over in Ionia, there's a great deal of interest in the Multiflora rose as a wildlife cover and for planting as a living fence. There's a million plants of it in Illinois, and more is being planted. It makes a fine, stock-tight fence when planted 18 inches apart and has some advantages over Osage Orange. It grows 6 to 10 feet tall and doesn't spread much, says a story in the Ionia Sentinel Standard. Starting tomorrow and continuing for 3 days, Kent County 4-H Club members will show off their achievements in Rockford, says the Rockford Register. 800 Berry County 4-H youngsters are going to do the same in Hastings the last 3 days of the week, according to the Hastings Banner. On Bob Cook's farm near Lawrence last Tuesday, some 800 people gathered to witness the construction of contour orchard terraces by tractors furnished by 11 farm machinery dealers and the planting of 800 cherry trees, according to the Pawpaw Courier Northerner. Among the minor farm products of Michigan, maple syrup is quite important. Yesterday, two Western Michigan towns held maple syrup festivals. The Stanton Clipper Herald and the Greenville Daily News told of a festival at Carson City, attended by many maple syrup producers and others. And the ninth big maple syrup festival was held at Vermontville yesterday, too, with free maple syrup and pancakes for all comers. Our farm editor, Carl Collin, was at Vermontville yesterday, and here's a recording which he made.
Vermontville is celebrating its ninth annual maple syrup festival today, and they certainly have had one grand crowd up here. They estimate a crowd of around 6,000 to 8,000 people here today, and the folks have enjoyed the parade, which started this afternoon. It was about 1 o'clock this afternoon. They've crowned the royal couple. The governor was here. He gave an address this afternoon, and there have been quite a number of other awarding prizes, home talent acts, and of course, everybody's eating here. Both of the two of the big churches here are serving suppers tonight, and in the syrup festival building, they've been serving pancakes, maple syrup, and sausages all day. I don't know, when I come to places like this, I seem to just naturally gravitate to the places where the food is. And so we got down here at the festival building and came across George Purster. George is Secretary Treasurer of the Vermontville Maple Syrup Festival Association, and he's been back here in the kitchen. That's where we are right now. He's been back here making pancakes. Right before me, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 big griddles, and they're all filled up with pancakes. You guys are big pancakes, too. Well, let's turn over here to George. Let's talk to him. George, how many people have you served here today?
Well, as near as we can figure, we've served around 1,000 people.
How long have you been serving these pancakes and sausage?
We started in at 11 o'clock this morning.
You know, it's kind of a long day, isn't it?
It's a long day and a tedious day.
Yeah, George, I'd like to have you tell me a little bit about this association, the Festival Association. Who comprises that association? I think you have a very interesting story there. Tell us just a little bit about it.
Well, 9 years ago we started the association, Festival Association, with the idea of making a market for the farmer's syrup. And it's grown now until it's about out of our hands. 2 years ago, we ran out of syrup entirely. And now, this year, of course, money, a little shortage on it, and we have plenty of syrup. And we'd like to have some big producers come in to buy this syrup for the simple reason that the farmers have done real well of putting out syrup for us and helping us along.
This has been an awfully good year as far as the run's concerned.
Very
too.
Good year this year.
Quality's very good, too.
Quality is the best this year.
What other festivities do you have in store for tonight?
Well, we have two large dances. We have a modern dance at the schoolhouse and an old-time dance at the opera house. And we, too, will have a bingo party here at the festival building after the supper is over.
There's been some good fishing for walleyes in the Muskegon River lately, according to the New Ego Republican. And up at Beulah, the smelt run is on. Our farm editor, Carl Collin, also visited Beulah a few days ago, and he made a recording at the very start of one of the smelt runs. Here it is.
Get ready! Boy, they're really going, too. This little creek down here, Cold Creek, is just full of people. Down here dipping and dipping, and the fact of the matter is they're so close together I don't even see how they can dip. Brother, are they in there? I imagine about, probably 500-600 people down here dipping. They rush down from these sidelines and into the creek, and they're wading into the stream and dipping furiously. They have these little nets here. Some of them are smaller, some of them are using buckets, and some of them have dish pans, and everybody's just dipping furiously. They get some trout in those nets, and then they come along this side here, and they empty them into some kind of a container. They're baskets. Cardboard cartons, just anything to put them into. There goes some guy. He fell down. Boy, he is soaking wet. Most of the people have hip boots on, but they're swinging down there and people are following in. Let's turn around here to Conservation Officer Orville Redding. Officer, what are the regulations on this dipping?
There's no regulations as far as size and numbers are concerned. However, they are supposed to have a fishing license. And the dip will be at 11 and 4.
How long can you dip at a time?
Usually lasts about 20 minutes.
Now here is news from round about our listening area. The Charlotte Republican Tribune tells that the businessmen and industrialists of Charlotte We'll visit the schools next Wednesday, and in the evening we'll attend a dinner to hear an address by Superintendent of Public Instruction, Lee Thurston. We stared in amazement at a two-column article in the Republican Tribune announcing that the Michigan Press Association would hold a meeting at Lansing January 21st and 22nd.